Have you turned to Proverbs 29 here this morning, as well as Romans 13. Proverbs 29 and Romans 13. Proverbs 29, first. Proverbs 29, verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish, and he that keepeth the law, happy is he. But where no there is no vision, the people perish. Romans 13, and verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let's pray. Now, Father, once again, glad to have these folks gather here together. We've certainly wrestled with sickness and illness here these last couple months, and I know that there are some folks out with that. Pray you'd be with them. Think about Nancy and Wendy. Of course, Ian and some other folks that are battling their own battles. Pray you'd be with those folks. Father, we are coming now upon a new year, by our standards here anyway. And Lord, we need you as always. We just sang a song, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. You are our hope. Your Son, Jesus Christ, is all our hope. We pray that you'll bless now as we embark here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, most of you know or pretty clear that I do not surrender very quickly on preaching holiday-type themes. I've spent 25 years really wrestling with the Lord about what I should say on a given week and such. And so when the world starts beating this drum and the stuff goes from Halloween to Thanksgiving at Target, then from Thanksgiving to Christmas at Target, then from Thanksgiving to Christmas and Christmas to Valentine's Day, whatever, I just have a hard time marching to that drum. So sometimes you come, Mother's Day, you don't get a Mother's Day message. Father's Day, you don't get a Father's Day message. Tough apples. Don't know what to say. And really the same goes for New Year's. New Year's does not hold any real special sway for me. Most of you know it's a worldwide drunk fest. They are preparing the kegs and the booze and the wine and the fireworks, even now as we speak, I'm sure. And it's just going to be a gigantic thing. To them, it's supposed to represent a new start, a new beginning. It really is neither. It is just the fact that another click went by on the clock, and it's another day, another year later, and we're just that much deeper in the latter times. That's all that it means. Presidents get up and remake promises. Congress gets up and vows that change will come. People make New Year's resolutions. That's all fine. That's all good. Mostly it all comes to naught. Most of you have realized that by now. Presidents' words aren't worth much. And neither is Congress's. And some of your resolutions are no better. But mostly it all comes to naught. Resolutions these days don't have much resolve behind them. Maybe not much character either. So not sure. But I also say that very few folks understand the spiritual dynamics going on in our world today and just how bound people are by habits and sins and so on and so forth. So a resolution is not going to make a lot of difference. Certainly a fireworks display, another drunk fest, is not going to fix anything. For me, I must admit that the calendar change does at least do this. It marks the passage of time. It helps me know that, yes, indeed, another year has passed and we're embarking on yet another year. It's another step across the threshold of the latter times, the last days. And I don't know how much longer it's going to go, and neither do you, but that's what it does mean to me. I do find it significant in the fact that it's kind of worthwhile for me to look back and see what happened this last year. I'm not talking about nostalgia. I'm not talking about something philosophical. I'm just saying that for prudence's sake, for discretion's sake, okay, another year's gone. another year of sowing, and that time has passed. I now no longer have that time to spend. We have another year clicking off, and here we go into another one, and this could be the year. Okay? That does mean that to me. So I tend to look at it kind of strategically, kind of tactically, I suppose. What it works for me is it renews my vision. I mean, where there is no vision, the people perish. Beyond the fact that we're going to click over the calendar in a couple of days to 2013 and I have to relearn to write checks. That's what it means to me. But I did want to talk to you for a little while about it. In that light, while I don't really think much of preaching on holiday themes, I would like to preach to you this morning on the worst mistakes you can make in 2013. Nice positive message there. Most of this will be directed at grounded, saved Bible believers, but just in case, there is one little bit of cleanup we need to make sure and do. First of all, I'll tell you this. The greatest mistake you can make in 2013 is not being a Christian. Okay? Perhaps this morning, perhaps you're a young'un here, and maybe you've just reached some understanding of how things work, and maybe you've kind of put it off. I don't know. Maybe you're a young'un and you've just wrestled with it a little bit, and maybe you're just now kind of coming to terms with it. Maybe you're somebody that's been hiding out for years. Maybe you've put on the religious garments and you have said amen and waved your Bible, and maybe you've been hiding. I don't really know. I can tell you this. If you are not saved, nobody here can make you or compel you to get saved. There is no parent that can get saved for their kid, or else we all would have gotten our kids saved by getting saved again for them, right? So nobody can compel you. Nobody can move you to do it. Nobody can make you do it. I will tell you this. If you are unsaved going into 2013, you're gambling with more than you even understand. We've had folks before sit here for weeks and months on end without being saved. If you are one of those, please listen, okay? Imagine a scenario where you really do have a long-lost uncle that dies and leaves you $5 million. Probably ain't going to happen, but just presume for a moment that you are such a fortunate person that that happens to, or unfortunate, depending. Most of us would receive such news from the lawyer, go down, get our check, and at least we would sit here this morning in our right minds and say we would do something productive with it. But if you had a newly found $5 million, I'll ask you this. Would we find you sitting at a table in Las Vegas waiting for that one last card? Again, most of us in our right minds would be completely repulsed by that idea. I know some would be, probably not here, would be real interested in that scenario. But imagine one card, you either get it all plus more or you lose absolutely every bit of it. Imagine putting yourself in that position. I dare say, every day that you run saved, you gamble with far, far more than anything like that. You really, really do. If you're 10 years old, you're gambling. If you're 90 years old, you're gambling. A song says, the signs of the times are everywhere. I want you to know there is not the slightest evidence the Mayans had the slightest clue about what was going on in prophecy. There is no indication that the Incas had any real idea whatsoever what's going on in prophecy. Okay? Scientists don't know. If you're like me and you lived in the 70s, a new cold ice age was coming. We were all going to freeze to death. Well, nowadays, it's global warming and we're all going to burn up. Last time I checked, I think Al Gore said 2010 was our last chance. And so far, I haven't burned yet. So I don't know. Scientists don't know what they're talking about. They can't even predict the weather. The only singular document that has had any success with prophecy has been the Bible. Okay? I mean, it's happened over and over that the Bible's right. I tell you what, the Bible will always be right. And as far as the signs of the times, as far as where we stand today, these perilous days, these perilous times, every single warning in the Word of God is going off like a klaxon at a firehouse. Everything is ringing now. We are in the last days, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying, I don't know for sure, 2013 is going to be the year. The fact is, there's still time for 2012 to be the year. Right? And I hope that it is. But I will say that if you are not saved, the greatest mistake you've ever made has been to not get saved yet. And the greatest possible mistake you could ever make is to go into 2013 unsaved. The rest of what I have to say is pretty much to save people. There's a second thing I'd like to talk to you about. The second greatest mistake you can make in 2013 is not grasping the significance and the opportunities of the times. We talked about it being the last times. We are literally in the very last days, and the emphasis being on days, not decades, not centuries, perhaps not years. You live in the very last days. You know, folks, between World War I and World War II, I wish Janet was here this morning, between World War I and World War II, as far as I can see historically, there's only one singular significant figure in all of Great Britain that understood truly what Hitler was up to. His name was Winston Churchill. And Winston Churchill was not a Christian. But Winston Churchill, of all public figures in Great Britain, knew, understood, and believed and grasped what Hitler was actually doing. Okay? For his views, he was pretty much ostracized from power. They put him in the backwash of government and let him just kind of fritter around over there with nothing going on. Till finally one day, World War II did happen, and Poland was invaded, and all kinds of things started happening. Suddenly all of Great Britain had to come to Winston Churchill and say, you know what? You were right. And in many regards, Winston Churchill may well have saved Great Britain in World War II. That is, Winston Churchill grasped the significance and the opportunity of the times. There are men, and probably women, who still kick themselves for not having their financial ducks lined up to take advantage of the housing market in the late 90s and the early 2000s. And by the way, many of them still kick themselves for not being better prepared for what happened in the late, before 2010 and so on, the last few years, as the housing market dropped out. See, they looked at it and they weren't ready for the significance of the times. Now, war, politics, housing markets, job markets, stock markets, to me, I don't understand any of them particularly. My money has never been prepared for any investment, by the way. But I'm saying this to say that a Christian has been given, of all things, a looking glass into the future where you know pretty much where you stand now and what's going to happen in the future. I can tell you this, Mordecai and Esther stood that day outside Ahasuerus' palace, and they understood that the significant times were upon them. Mordecai says, "Who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom? For such a time as this." Daniel understood the night that he learned that they were all going to be killed, that he stood with a he understood the significance of the times and took advantage of it. I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, that it is now high time that we wake out of sleep, for now it's later than we thought. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, right? You're going into 2013. Most of us, I said this morning, never thought in 1987, 1986, we would ever see 2013. It's late. It's very late indeed. You cannot afford to sleep now. You do realize that for 60 or 70 or 80 perhaps, depending on how you count a generation, for 60 to 80 generations, prophets have been prophesying of these very days that you live in today. Since Christ came, more than 20 generations of Christians, apostles, prophets, Bible readers have foreseen by the power of the Holy Spirit through the revelation of God. They have seen and anticipated these very days that you live in. It would be a tremendous mistake to go into 2013 not grasping the significance, the opportunities that you have, the privilege that you have to live in this day. There has never been a greater opportunity for you to be a light in this world. You'd have to go all the way back to Noah to find a darker day. And maybe it wasn't even darker then. You have never had a greater opportunity to spread more light than you have today. There has never been an opportunity for ambassadors for Jesus Christ quite like today. If you don't see as many conversions as somebody else did 200 or 300 or 400 years ago, it's pretty much tough apples. There has still never been such a day when the world needed the gospel given through a witness, given through an ambassador, as you have opportunity to be and do today. Ladies and gentlemen, it would be a great, great mistake for you not to grasp the significance and the opportunity of the times we live in. This is a great opportunity for heavenly wisdom. It's a great opportunity to live in righteousness and to sow righteousness. There's never been a greater time to sow than now. I don't know all the crops will bear. I do know this. God's word will not return unto me void. It's time for you and for me to sow that word and trust God for the results. Okay? Something else I'd like to say. I'd like to say that it would be a tremendous mistake for you to go into 2013 not overcoming what has impeded you heretofore. You know, there aren't too many men that were as constantly and consistently impeded in progress as Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brethren. One thing after another happened. This guy kept getting put back in prison, climbing out, putting back in prison, climbing out, until finally one day he did indeed overcome. Now listen, folks. He really did say, I love it when I kick myself after finding the verse because I know it anyway. But 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and notice verse 5, for when we were coming to Macedonia, the flesh had no rest. We were troubled on every side. There it is. Without were fightings, within were fears. We were troubled on every side. Okay? It would be a shame, it would be a disgrace for you not to overcome what has impeded you heretofore. We've had a lot of things happen in our church in the last couple of years. Stop and consider that Ellen is no longer with us. So, as expected, Nick and Eric got a body shot, and it's important that they recover from it, right? You just had the Littles lose Tenny after a very long year. And, of course, the Nelsons and the Williams and the Hoggers involved in that, too. You know, Ian's still fighting a battle. It's been a long year, right? You have Nancy in the hospital right now. Just recovering from things and hopefully coming out of things fine. Those things will take some time. I'm not saying that can come out, that anybody can come out of that right away just at the snap of a finger. I will say this. Many of you have suffered failures. You've suffered setbacks. You've been disappointed in you. You've been disappointed in your kids. You've been disappointed in other people. Okay? There's a lot of you that have suffered some hurt, been wounded. This year, perhaps last year, perhaps the year before. Maybe it's a pet sin that's impeded you. I don't know if it's maybe something like bitterness or laziness, some such thing like that. Maybe for you it's not even that. Maybe it's just a natural reserve. Maybe your shyness has kept you from doing more for Jesus Christ? Maybe it's laziness. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's ignorance. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's a grudge. Maybe it's worldliness. Maybe you struggle with the world. I don't know what it is. And maybe it's somebody else's testimony. I can tell you this. It would be a shame for you to allow bonds like that, having had them named, being in the church that you're in, it would be a shame for you to allow those things to impede you further going into 2013, one of the very last years this world will ever see. I don't know if there's 10 more, 20 more, or 100 more. Probably not 100. Okay? But it would be a shame for you to allow yourself to be held down by threads in 2013, one of the very last years you may ever live on this earth, with Jesus Christ on the very cusp of coming back. That would be a terrible distress. It is high time to wake out of sleep. Okay? Again, the new year to me doesn't mean much other than the clock turning. And I get to click another year over on the calendar and start over again, learn how to write checks again. Okay, that's all fine. But it does mean we're 1 year later than this time last year. Okay, it does mean that I'm going to go into 50-some years. And, man, folks, I'm telling you, there has never been an opportunity like there's never been a day like this. You live in the days just before the second coming of Jesus Christ. You could be raptured today. I hope it happens in 2012. But it would be a shame for the next couple of days to click over, you to go into 2013 and not get victory over some things that held you back this year. It'd be a great mistake to allow that to happen. Okay? Got something else to say here? I'd like to say it would be a great mistake for you not to avoid unnecessary entanglements. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 3 is that soldier verse. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. It would be a mistake, a great mistake, for a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian going to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, to go into 2013 and not to labor to avoid unnecessary entanglements. There are some things, there are some necessary things that you're going to be preoccupied with in 2013, just like you were in 2012 and 2011, 2010, and all the way back. You do still have to eat. You do still have to shop for clothing, okay? You are going to have to go to Walmart. The toilet's still going to leak unless you fix that gasket. Your car is going to break down. You're going to have hot water heater problems. You may have tonsil problems. You're going to get the flu. All those things are necessary things that you must preoccupy yourself with. You have to pay bills. You've got to have a place to live. If you've got a place to live, you're going to have to repair some sheetrock somewhere. You're going to have to replace the refrigerator one of these days. That sort of thing. That much is understood. There are things you have to do. Furthermore, there are things that are understandable. I mean, everybody deserves some time away, so you're going to save for a vacation, set aside a week or whatever it is, and go somewhere and hopefully get rejuvenated. That's understandable. You have kids. Your kids can't just go to school, come home and sit in the corner with their hands folded in their laps. There's going to have to be some sort of activity to keep them occupied. That's understandable. It's fine for you to have a hobby. It's fine for you to love fishing. It's fine for you to love hunting. It's fine for you to play on a softball team. That's all fine. That's all great. And I'm not talking about that. But it is also easy to lay down layer upon layer of complications. I'm talking about things that are energy suckers, things that are money pits, things that are time consumers, and things that are God robbers, and you become so entangled and preoccupied with stuff that is absolutely unnecessary. We're not talking about going to Walmart and shopping for new underwear. You're going to have to do that. I'm talking about stuff that just robs your time and energy, essentially robs God, and you're entangled in it and just can't seem to get out of it because you've gotten all wrapped up. I want to say that not avoiding unnecessary entanglements is one of the greatest mistakes you can make going into 2013. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things, and the pleasures of this life enter in and choke the word. They choke the word because you are distracted and you are preoccupied with things that have nothing to do with necessity. They have nothing to do with the welfare of your children, your wife, your husband, or your family. They have absolutely everything to do with you just being unnecessarily entangled, frustrated, bothered, and worried by things. That's a mistake to go into 2013. Look, if we're in World War II, there are people actually in this country that did without stuff because of the war effort. Okay? I got news for you, folks. You live in the very last days before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Things may yet get involuntarily rough in our country, and you may well have to do without some stuff. It would be good if you would get in the practice of simplifying now. Because I'll tell you this, I don't know how you are. Some years back, we kind of decided it's easy when you're poor. We decided to simplify. I've bought one brand new car in my lifetime. If you have a new car every year, more power to you. Okay? But I paid on that car and paid and paid and paid and fixed and paid and fixed and paid for 5 years. I was never so glad to see something go into the trash, rubbish, than that stinking Mazda in my entire life. I have since that time driven throwaways. Some throwaways have gotten thrown away quicker than others. But fact of the matter is, there's a certain joy in life that revolves around things being simple. And I don't know how you are, but there are guys, there are ladies, and you just have to have new toys on a regular basis or else you're just not happy. I'm happy, and I don't buy too many new toys. Okay? If you have the money, if you have the income, and you can manage the resource and manage the time, that's all fine. But there are things that I don't have and I don't want and I don't pray for and I'm not saving for because they are a money pit. They're nothing but a time consumer. There are things that worry me all the time. Look, I've been trying to get around the gumption to replace a stinking toilet seal for a year. I learned the other day from Dave, they cost about $2.50. Man, I've been saving for that soap. I have a hard time remembering to clean the filters on the air conditioners in the spring. It wasn't until last week, it was already 10 below, that I finally cut the outside water off and turned the little bleeder valve so that my pipes wouldn't bust, okay? It took me that long to do it. And it rests on my heart and mind, and it troubles me until I get those things done. So what am I going to do with a four-wheeler and a jet ski and a pontoon and 15 other toys that I just have to have? Look, I hate to admit this, but I like guns. I do. Do you like guns? I like guns. My guns, I have two handguns. Two handguns that I admit to. I have two handguns. I've been needing to clean. I'm ashamed to say this. I've been needing to clean those handguns, disassemble, break down, and clean the handguns for 2 years. I finally broke down and cleaned the handguns this last week. Christmas Day, I think it was. I don't need 60 other things worrying at me and frustrating me. If I had all the toys that some people are praying for and desiring and waiting for, I would be nothing but a nervous wreck by the time I got them all, because I wouldn't be able to get to everything. Listen, it's a blessing to simplify, and the fact of the matter is, those entanglements thwart my fruitfulness. There are things that I need to attend to. If I don't attend to things on a regular basis, you don't get taught, you don't get preached at, there's nothing going on in the institute, and you're going to pretty soon fire me. Well, I don't need that. Some of you, I bet, could use some simplification in your life. Hey, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. It's fine for you to tinker. It's fine for you to have stuff you enjoy doing. It's fine for you to have a hobby. It's fine for the kids to be in sports. But I can tell you this. You would be a fool to go into 2013 not trying to reduce some entanglements that worry you and trouble you and hold you down. Something else I'd like you to point out to you. It's kind of along the same lines, I suppose. I'd like to say that one of the greatest mistakes you can make in 2013 is not being more deeply committed to Jesus Christ. Not taking a step forward. Not trying to go beyond where you are. Grow past what you are. You know, here you are. You sat this morning in Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Some of you, because of the flack you've gotten through the years for going here, probably think, it's easy, I suppose, to think, fall back on thinking anyway, that this is the summit. I mean, you were in another kind of church, and finally, you saw the King James issue, and you know it was controversial with your family, your friends, your other Christian friends, and so on. And so you came to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and this is the summit. I mean, you know where we stand on the Bible. Every word of the King James Bible is perfect. You know how things go with teaching, with dispensations, how serious we are about doctrine, that sort of things. Rock and roll. Santa Claus. Right? Halloween. Have Spurgeon come in. Wild man. Peacock. Wilder man. Gip. Pretty wild. Keck. Really different. Those guys, you'll come. And the vision is that Blessed Hope Baptist Church should fulfill being the pillar and ground of the truth. You preach on the streets. You're encouraged to go out on the streets. You're encouraged to go to visitation. That sort of thing. And yet, even in a church like that, you do understand you can come here and do exactly what somebody does at some flop-doodle church. You can hide. You can backslide at Blessed Hope Baptist Church as well. You can come here and you can slide in late and leave early and tithe and back up against the warmth and enjoy the warmth and have fellowship once in a while at a picnic and be involved that way. Listen, the fact is, if you just want to come, slip in, slip out, give your money, I'm not going to tackle you and run you off. I'm not going to say you can't come back. In fact, come back, give me more money. But the fact of the matter is, you can come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and do nothing with what you hear, and you can backslide and down spiral. You can, you can, you can. And, ladies and gentlemen, it would be a great mistake to be exposed to what you've been exposed to here and not go into 2013 with a mindset, I'm going to be more committed, I'm going to do more for Jesus Christ, not just the church. I'm going to do more for Jesus Christ, myself and with my family. I'm going to be more committed. I am going to grow and my family's going to grow with me this year, or else I just want to die. You need that. One last thing I'd like to say, and then I'll be done. One of the greatest mistakes you can make in 2013 is quitting. Now, most folks that are here are aware that in these last few years we've suffered some losses, and, you know, for various reasons. I want to make sure that you understand that I don't think for a moment that Blessed Hope Baptist Church is the only church that you can go to and serve God. I do not believe that. I'll say further, not everybody that's left Blessed Hope Baptist Church has quit. In fact, I know there are some that if I said they quit, they would vociferously argue that they just left Blessed Hope for various reasons, and they have not quit. You know, I'll tell you this. There's something I know about quitting. I know when you're exposed to what you're exposed to here, and you still leave, and then you leave behind the Bible. You leave behind your standards. You leave behind precepts and principles of how you're raising your kids. You're still saved, thank God for it. You still have a background, but for all essential purposes, you have quit. One of the things that you will be tempted to do, I believe there's a little part of each one of us, the strongest among us, there's a part of you that would like to get up in the morning spiritually and lay down and just not get back up. Secretly, there's a part of you that wants to quit. Amen. It would be a great mistake for you to do. I'm not saying, once again, be clear, I'm not saying everybody that's left Blessed Hope Baptist Church has quit on God. I don't believe that. But some that have left have. That was the reason they left. And it would be a great mistake for you at this juncture, because of one thing or another, to walk away from the Bible, to walk away from the light, to walk away from the doctrine, to walk away from the standards, to walk away from an adversity to the world and go back out there and think you're going to be okay. That would be a great mistake. Okay? For all intents and purposes, you're laying down and rolling over. You have all four legs up in the air, if you have four legs. Otherwise, you're going to have to use your two arms, okay? But there are folks that I know, for all essential purposes, have quit, okay? There's a part of you that would like the battle to be over. And if you'll admit it, you would like to quit. Don't quit. Quitting at this juncture would be like leaving the table before dessert. Because I'm telling you, the best times are ahead. This could be the year. In fact, this could be, 2012 could be the year. 2013 might be the year. You haven't got many more days to wake up on this earth with something to do. There's just not that many more days. If there's 1,000 more, okay, that's 1,000. But we're in the very last seconds of the last hours, of the last days. We're almost there, and you don't know when it's going to happen. And I could stand here and predict until I'm blue in the face, and probably I still wouldn't get it right. But it's all lined up, folks. This could be the year. This could be the day. This is no time to quit. Don't make those mistakes in 2013. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we come to you here this early afternoon, and we know where we stand, Lord. These things have been preached many times in part and in whole. We're not discouraged, Father. We would love to have seen you come before now. There would have been a lot of things we had a chance to avoid. We've said goodbye to friends here in these last few months. We have had to say goodbye to friends as well that are elsewhere. Trying to stay by the stuff, Father, trying to be fruitful, trying to do more. Give us strength to stand, Lord. We pray you might yet give us increase and fruitfulness in these last hours. Mainly, Father, we pray you'd help us keep our hearts right. Help us keep our minds and hearts in focus in the battle. We pray that you might give us the results that we need. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's turn to number 125. We can stand. 125. Again, thank you for getting us this far, Lord. There are some of us that never would have imagined we would be this far along in life, for that matter, in the Christian life. I appreciate your mercies through the years. We've seen good things happen, and just glad to have some folks here this morning that have at times past been astray. Glad to have them back in the fold, Father, trying to do right. We pray, Father, you'd give us a clear vision for these things. Help us to very well know where we stand in these prophetic times. Help us to realize the significance and the opportunities involved. Help us mainly, Father, stay on the straight and narrow. Help all here that need strength and courage, Father. Please help them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everybody. See you tonight at 5:30 for prayer, 6 o'clock for service.